passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Final hour has arrived, and let us get right back to our calls. Legend is next.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Yeah, I can.
All right. I've been having trouble with this new iPhone. Don't believe the commercials. Paul, I heard Squirrel talking about what car he remembers in his youth. When I was 16 years old, my daddy bought me a 71 Malibu two-door hardtop. That was a bad car right there, Paul.
Yes, sir.
That was a bad car, man. The first time I drove it, I wrecked it, Paul.
You wrecked it?
Wrecked it, baby. Wrecked it. Hey, Paul, I'm going to give you three coaches in serious trouble in the SEC, okay?
Okay.
Number three, Brian Kelly. Did I hear Brian Kelly come on here the other day, Paul, and talk about how young they were and how inexperienced they were? I mean, didn't you find that as a lame excuse, Paul? Wasn't that pretty lame?
I must have missed that, but I do remember it now that you bring it up.
That's pretty lame, ain't it? I mean, ain't that the case with everybody these days? I mean, with the transfer portal and NIL and everything, ain't it like the NFL now? Every year is a new year. I mean, ain't that pretty well the situation in your mind?
That would be accurate.
Yeah, well, here's the problem for Brian Kelly. Jaden Daniels and Neighbors will be in the NFL next year. It's about to get worse, Paul. It's about to get worse for Brian Kelly, not better. I mean, come on, man. Jaden Daniels is hands down playing the best quarterback position in the whole SEC, in my mind. The dude's been outstanding. I put him down when the year started, but I was wrong, man. And when Pete Golden outcoaches your defensive coordinators and you got to change coaches in the middle of the year and bring somebody new in, that's a problem in year two, Paul. That's a problem. If he goes 8-5 this year and 8-5 next year, how hot is Brian Kelly's seat come the end of next year, Paul?
Scalding.
Scalding. And that's where he's headed. That is where he's headed. Number two, Billy Napier, Paul.
Billy Napier.
It's over for that dude, Paul. Look, give me the Florida job, and in 2 years I'll have him in the SEC championship game. First of all, the University of Florida, you ought to be able to recruit every top player in the state of Florida, in the state of Georgia. I would mark every five-star player and every four-star player in the state of Florida, and I would be on their doorstep nonstop. You're the University of Florida. You're 1-7 in your last 8 road games. This guy's got no enthusiasm. He's got no answers. And most of all, how in the world is your roster so damn pathetic? You're Florida. You ought to be killing it in recruiting, man. You're the Gators, Emmitt Smith. I mean, come on, man. What's wrong? And number one, Paul, Sam Pittman. It's over for him. He might well pack his bags up today and leave Arkansas, Paul. It's over. And I'd give you the same reason that Brian Kelly's got a problem. Come this time next year, Rocket Sanders and KJ Jefferson is in the NFL. I mean, if you can't do it with KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders, how in the hell didn't you go out in the offseason and get you about 5 320-pound hogs on that offensive line to gap some holes for them two guys? That's just bad coaching. Coaching come down to recruiting and putting the Jimmies and the Joes on the field, and these three guys ain't doing it, and they about to lose Jimmy and Joe, and into a year and 18 months, none of these guys will be in the SEC. That's my prediction right there. Now, Paul, did I hear Dale crying about injuries today?
Yeah. Injuries and transfers.
Man, talk about a hypocrite. Hypocrite. That's what you are, Dale. A hypocrite, dude. How in the hell are you crying about injuries when you came on here for a year talking about what we said about Jameis Williams and John Metchie? The reality is, dude, the only thing saving y'all sorry ass is that sorry ass schedule. Everybody in the country knows it. You don't get no credit for beating Auburn. You don't get no credit if you beat Kentucky, in my mind. Hell, Kentucky, Duke, Louisville, all them basketball schools are undefeated, and all of them are fakes, and we all know it. They're going to go down and crash. It's just a matter of time. Man, you don't get no credit. Stop crying about injuries and who you ain't got. You starting to sound like we did 2 years ago. And I'll tell you something, Georgia fans. You're the most pathetic, crying-ass people on this show, crying all the time. Hell, you a champion. Act like one. That's right. You ain't one. Hey, Paul, did I hear Pat Smith? And I have to say this. Pat Smith is a radio legend. Hell, he created a sound box.
He did. He's a creator.
A radio legend. But did I hear him say, if you're going to get Auburn, you better get them now? Is that what he said?
He said that. I confirm.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Pat. Stop drinking that Kool-Aid, brother. Auburn be gotten this year. They'll be gotten next year, and they'll be gotten for many years to come. It's hump day, and Auburn is used to getting humped. They're going to hump this team in the whole damn league, Pat. They ain't going nowhere. Let me tell you something about Coach Freak. He ain't nothing but a Brian Kelly Jr. You take his Alabama wins away, and he's a very average friggin' coach. And before I get off, let me say this. It's Dumbo Fisher Week. Dumbo! Dumbo Fisher! We ain't forgot what you said, Dumbo. We ain't forgot what you said about the GOAT. You got it coming to you this week, brother. And let me tell Nia Smith something. We kicked your brother off the team because he wasn't no good in 2016. And we appreciate your little trash talk motivating us. Let me tell you something about Nick Saban, talking about you know what Nick knows. You know what Nick knows. Let me tell you something. Players that have been playing for Nick for 4 years, played for him for 10 years or whatever, they don't know the mind of Nick. Hell, Miss Terry don't even know what Nick knows. Nick is a friggin' genius. Get ready to get your ass beat, Dumbo Fisher and Anaya Smith. We're coming, baby. Like that 71 Malibu before I wrecked it. One more. Love you, Paul. Legend has left the building.
Greg is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
How you doing?
We are doing well. Thanks for calling.
Okay. It's a coincidence you and Pat were talking the subject about Bo Nix.
Yeah.
And that was exactly what I was going to talk about. But before I get negative, I love Auburn. I will never quit being for Auburn. Auburn will never lay down. Hugh Freeze is the best thing that ever happened. He has done something by his recruiting that nobody, I don't think, has come close to. But they pissed Bo Nix off, got rid of him. If we had Bo Nix at quarterback today at Auburn, we would be undefeated. We've got three quarterbacks, but yet we don't have one. Paul, you need to suit up and play in the LSU game where we'll stand a chance to win.
I don't think I'll be there.
Well, I know you could hit some of them wide-open receivers. I'm 60-year-old, and I could have hit that one that was open in the Texas A&M game. He throwed the ball 20 yards over his head. I love Auburn, but every college football team you pick out has got a quarterback. You could pull any quarterback out and put them behind center for Auburn, and we would be undefeated. You know, it makes you sick to watch it every weekend to know that we've got as good a defense as Oregon's got. Our offense is as good as Oregon's. If we had a quarterback, we would be undefeated.
Greg, thank you for the call. Miss Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul. Legend needs to
stick to talking about Alabama and not Auburn. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about when he starts talking about Auburn. Anyway, that's all I had. Bye.
Thank you. I'd like that kind of call. Quick, out. We'll be right back. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Great to have all of you here. And let's check out Cat Daddy next. Good afternoon.
Big Paul, looking good and sounding good as always. And you know that. But a lot of folks come into the liquor store and they ask me, so next time you talk to Big Paul, you have to ask him a question. Now, the two questions that I'm getting today is, what are your thoughts on LSU and South Carolina? Are they going to get better or worse?
Well, I think I frankly think both are good programs that could get better, yes. That's where I am.
All right, the second question is, do you think Lane Kiffin, with that victory he had this past weekend, will propel him as the next head coach of Alabama when Nick Saban retires?
I do not.
All right, Mr. Feinbaum, that's all I needed to know. Y'all have a great day. And Randy, you number one, brother.
Ricky is up next in Mississippi.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Well, I'll just listen to a lot of the fans with LSU, and you know they kind of sound like Alabama fans last year. I guess Matt House is the new Pete Golden. But you know, I just look at the game like they kind of just they're similar teams, and I don't know if they gave Ole Miss enough credit of the Junkins running the ball. I mean, he actually ran the ball last week. And I think that created a lot of problems.
If he had done that a week earlier, and he may have been a little bit banged up, that game could not have gone any worse for them.
Yeah, I think that probably was the running game kind of shocked everybody. And when you were able to run, you know, plus you had Dart can run too. So he was the spitting image of Jaden Daniels and their receiving corps. Because they ain't like that. Ole Miss ain't got nobody that can catch the ball now. That Trey Harris just come back last week, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I have an NCAA question. You know, I heard Pat Smith talked about it. That kind of made it even a two-part question. And what I was going to talk about with the NCAA with the transfer portal and how. Who governs the NCAA, and because it's like how they're able to, enforce certain rules and some they couldn't.
The NCAA is like a congress of all of these various colleges, and collectively they write the rule book. And therefore, they have committees. There's an eligibility committee. There's an enforcement committee on infractions, which deals with them. So they are their own. I mean, they sustain nobody. There's nobody. They don't. They report to the members.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know where the checks and balances are. You know, because now the transfer portal has kind of pushed away.
They actually make up their own rules.
So that's why it's in the shape it's in. And now the high school students are gonna pay dearly for it now, because how are they gonna get scholarships if all the transfer portal guys get the scholarships?
Well, the problem is that what happens like Pat was talking about the Georgia law, which is like all these other state laws. They don't have any jurisdiction over that. And the reason is this: there is not a uniform NCAA NIL bill. They do have rules on the transfer portal. They do. Yeah. They're in charge of that.
And that's it ain't looking too good.
But they're two different things. NIL and the transfer portal are not the same. The transfer portal is where the action is.
Right. I understand that, but I'm just saying, as far as the high school students now who are not going to get recruited, going to get kind of pushed out because they can just go to the transfer portal, like you said, But now, where are the high school students, maybe the 3 or 4 star guys? Of course, they're going to recruit the 5 stars, you know. But I just wonder, are they going to be in a room when I guess they just have to go to a school that, because they're not going to get recruited like normal.
No. Well, I think his point was they'll still be recruited. They just won't be recruited by the top tier schools. They'll be recruited by the middle.
So if you wanted to go to that school, you got guys in front of you that come from other schools that's been recruited from the transfer portal, well, then you're going to have to go somewhere else, even though you want to go to that school.
You're right. No, you're 100% right. So instead of going to Mississippi State, you might end up going to Southern Miss.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, the high school kids are kind of getting pushed out a little bit, you know, and I don't know. It's just a mess. That's just all I can tell you on that. So, that's the way the ball bounces now, and that's the new NCAA, and that's the new world of college football now. So we just have to deal with it.
Ricky, thank you. Appreciate it. Billy is up next. Hey, Billy. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I'm asking about the Mississippi State team, you know, with Zach Arnett and our coach and everything else, and everybody else crying about their teams not doing so well, you know, not going to make it. I mean, my goodness, I've been going to Mississippi State. I've been a fan since like the 80s, and we've never had this. And everybody's an armchair quarterback with the way it's supposed to happen and everything else. And the other thing is, Paul, I just want to say how gracious you were to come and shake me and my son's hand during the LSU-Mississippi State game, which I actually had some aspect of, like, maybe winning or at least getting close and reality hit, right?
Well, thank you for saying hello. And, I think Mississippi State fans are among the most realistic in the SEC.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I think that means is they. I mean, help me if but you're a fan. I'm an observer, but I think Mississippi State fans want to win. There's one game more important than all the rest. Secondly, they expect the team to compete, and the only time I think they really get upset is when they don't see that.
Well, like now, but why did you tie Will's hands behind his back? I don't understand.
Billy, I don't know how to quite critique what I'm seeing so far from that coaching staff. I don't like it.
Of course not. He was raised on the long ball.
Yeah.
I mean, his father raised him, you know, on the air raid.
Makes no sense at all.
He was recruited on the air raid, and now there's a GoPro.
Yeah, I don't know which side of the ball I'm less impressed with, the offense or the defense.
Right. So who do you get rid of? The quarterback?
Well, here's what always happens. And I'm just guessing, but, you know, coaches, they usually sacrifice a coordinator first and hope that buys them time.
The GOAT. Not the GOAT, but
Then when the administration comes in and says, listen, we're not concerned about the coordinator, that's when the head coach is in trouble.
Yeah. So I'm looking at another 2, 3, 4 years. Look, Paul, to be realistic.
Well, Billy, in fairness to Zach Arnett, and I'm going to tell you something you already know, nobody's ever been dealt a worse hand than he had.
I think that
gives him a little bit of cushion, but not much.
Sure. I mean, I know the reason that he got that job, and the only reason he got that job was to keep a bunch of people from jumping.
100%
But
true.
I mean, you know, right. But at one point, do you like, okay, look, we don't want anybody else jumping. Let's start recruiting, and let's get a coach that can actually do that.
Billy, if you dissect it even more, one of the problems a lot of ADs and presidents have is they literally can't afford to fire the coach. Billy Napier, him or not, $31 million. Jimbo Fisher, not really an issue anymore, but $75 million. I think the two of us could probably scrape up the buyout for Zach Arnett.
My point. That is my point. So any other – well done, dude. Any other Mississippi State fan that is out there – please, man. I mean, reach out and understand that, you know, we were dealt a bad hand. I understand it. I mean, you don't expect your coach to, you know, go the way, you know, the Pirate went. But, you know, you have to look forward. And it just seems like we were just settling.
Well, Billy, I think State was. I think right now, if I could make it succinct, and I'm trying, you know, Arnett would be very would help him immensely if he could win a couple of games. We'll take a break right after this. We'll come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Ends at 9 a.m. with Marty and McGee, and then SEC Nation from Athens. First time this year at the home of the two-time champs. Welcome back. Let's check in with Bubba in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul? How you doing today?
We are doing good.
Hey, was that Jaden Daniels' uncle that calls in?
Yes.
Yeah, did you see that shot he took in the Ole Miss game Saturday? That boy took a hard hit.
He did.
Yeah, he's tough, man. I'm going to tell you what, his uncle's right. He played a whale of a ball game to come out on a losing effort there. But I think that kid's got a bright future ahead of him, even beyond college. But sound like our buddy Manuel there. He's counting all his hopes and dreams on Arch Manning. What did it sound like to you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, right now Arch Manning is a third-string quarterback.
Yeah. He's going to be a starter at some point. But I'm anxious to see in the near future Tennessee's going to end up playing Texas at some point. And they picked up Nico Amaleva. And I think we got a better quarterback than they did, honestly. It'll yet to be determined. And, legend, I hate to tell you, buddy.
I
got
to say about Arch Manning, it's a lot easier to pronounce than Nico.
Yeah, that's true. But I got a bad feeling for legend. I know Dumbo's been a thorn in their side, but I got a bad feeling that Alabama's going to struggle to beat them Aggies Saturday.
Hey, if the Aggies win that game, how big is that game next week in Knoxville?
Exactly. But look at this, Paul. Answer me one question. Is Alabama going to put more talent on the football field Saturday than A&M is?
I believe they will, yes.
I don't think they will. Look at Jimbo's roster.
By the way, what does talent mean? I think A&M, I mean, Alabama has enormous talent on that team. Don't get fooled by.
Hey, A&M has enormous talent. Jimbo just has not got the most out of it.
They don't have 5 years of talent like Alabama does.
No, I'll agree. They don't have the depth, but I watched A&M play Saturday. I'm telling you, they're going to be a handful for anybody.
I agree.
All right. You have a good evening.
They are certainly a trending team at the moment. AJ is not. He's next.
Boom shakalaka. Hey, Paul. I hate to be calling so late, but, you know, I was busy endorsing you for Speaker of the House. What do you say?
I'm not up for that. There's no job security. Not that there is here, by the way. But
it's about like following up, saving it.
Yeah, no, I don't want that job. I am not a candidate right now.
I hear you.
Although I am eligible.
You are eligible. That's right. You fit the profile. You're almost 90.
I'm not. I definitely would be younger than the previous Speaker of the House.
Well, hey, I'm gonna tell you something. You had the best guest that you have on here by far is Pat Smith. I mean, he's a whale full of knowledge.
He's really good.
And he knows the game of football. He knows it a hell of a lot better than Legend. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to guarantee you one thing, Paul, about Legend. I'm convinced that he is actually in culinary school now because he can cook up some of the biggest bunch of garbage that I've ever seen in my life. I can hear the fear in his voice, Paul. He's worried in November there's going to be a freeze up on them. They come to Jordan-Hare, and we're going to beat that ass. Legend. So go ahead and pucker up and get ready for your smooch. because it's coming. Then the rest of the year, Legend, the rest of the year, every single call I make, I'm going to dedicate it to burying your ass just like Alabama never would bury Bear Bryant, War Damn Eagle.
Frank is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
All right. Just a quick question for you. As far as the offensive and defensive lines are concerned, as far as Georgia and Alabama both are concerned, it seems like the NCAA worries about helmet contact and all that stuff, but they don't worry too much about crackback blocking against people. So I think the defensive lines and offensive lines are not really monitored very well. And I fear that I will put any of our skill positions against any other skill position in the SEC. But as far as the offensive and defensive line goes, I think that there is some unnecessary contact, accidental rolling up on somebody's knee, something else happening in that. And if we're beating you in the hole, whether it be the two hole, three hole, whatever, I think that that's kind of misled a little bit.
Hey, thank you for the call, Frank. I'll get an expert on to clarify that. And we have him now. Larry is in Missouri.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you getting along today?
We're doing okay. What about you?
Hey, great, great. Hey, I thought I was going to get in here on that 2-3 hole deal, but that's not why I called, actually. I'm out here in the 314 Garage Club. I actually got to be truthful. I gave up on you about 2 hours ago. I mean, you got this Augie and AC. I mean, I'll be honest now, seriously. I'd rather listen to Charles Allen Head pick a telephone up, choking on a handful of peanuts, gasping for air, than listen to any of these people you got calling now. I mean, they're just absolutely awful, atrocious. I mean, it's just pitiful. But that's not why I called it. So I'm calling about the Oklahoma, Texas. And talk to my old buddy Manuel, and I like Manuel, but obviously he's stoned around those Austin streets with all those damn needles stuck out there full of heroin, that he must have fell on one. I mean, let me tell you this. I mean, we all know this. We all know this, and we know it really for sure in Oklahoma. Texas ain't nothing but a bunch of big talkers. That's all they are. They got that steakhouse out in Amarillo. Come eat the Big Texan, 50-ounce steak. Eat the Big Texan. You know what? The Big Texan tastes like a damn tire. It's awful. It's big, but it sucks. A lot like the Texas football program. I mean, they ain't going to. They can't do. I mean, let's look at this. The greatest coach you ever had was from Oklahoma, Darryl K. Roll from Hollis, Oklahoma, and I like him. But he quit. He never beat Barry Switzer, the king, ever. And you know what he did? He quit like a. That's what they.
I heard you. Censors got you there, Larry, but I get the meaning. Thanks for the call. We will take a short break on that. More to come right after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.